Bob and let him share some of the things that have testimonies, maybe some names you know, like Howard Pittman and Dr. Richard Eby, several others, a man named George Ritchie, and a number of others that have had experiences not uncommon to what Bob has experienced. And before we start, I just wanted to just give a brief word on eternity and concerning heaven and hell, which is our main topic tonight. There's certain truths in the Bible, in Scripture, that are major doctrines. They're truth that is unwavering. And the doctrines concerning heaven and hell are one of those truths that are just unwavering. They are major doctrines of Christian truth. And testimony to you tonight in discussing the whole realm of heaven and hell is to inspire a desire within you to live holy. The Apostle Peter said, since all these things concerning eternal judgment, concerning hell, concerning the end of the earth, he said they will happen. What sort of people ought we to be? To be in holy in conduct and godliness for the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our main purpose in sharing these things tonight. And just concerning the reality of heaven and hell, I think one glimpse into heaven will literally change a person's life forever. I've had just such a privilege this past week or 2 weeks doing some research on these topics to help with our deeply stirred. I feel like a changed man from this, studying some of the testimonies of Howard Pittman and so forth. So before we start, why don't we just have a word of prayer, okay? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would open our hearts tonight. Lord, we ask you to release the spirit of conviction in our words tonight. Lord, would pierce our very hearts. Lord, that we would be a people changed tonight, Lord, after hearing these testimonies. Lord God, we ask you these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to add just another word. It's not our purpose tonight to convince anyone that Bob's testimony is true or that any spirit's job to do that. We just want to present that along with solid Bible teaching to go along with it and let the Holy Spirit bring conviction. You know, it's one of the realities concerning heaven and hell were spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. I just wanted to read this verse and just in beginning, there's really two things that the Lord is going to for him in judgment. In Matthew chapter 25, 34, it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come unto me, you who are blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then another group, the Lord Jesus, he will say, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for that is a startling reality that I think all of us need to consider. So the topic of heaven and hell is a major issue of motivation for us. And I just want to start with a verse by the Apostle Paul, one who was probably stoned to death on his way to way out of Lystra, a city, in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And then, and boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up to words, which a man is not permitted to speak. Another translation uses the word unutterable. The Phillips translation says, words that cannot be translated into human speech. So many of the things we're going to discuss tonight will be in that category. So Bob, why don't you just take it from here and tell us what happened on August the 8th, 1975.
First, I want to share a word with the body.
Go.
Vision this morning. And the Lord showed me this body. And the Lord showed me this body was like gasoline and water. But it was mixed together. And when you've got gasoline and water in your tank, auto won't run. And when you've got gasoline and water and you pour it on a flower or a rose, it won't grow. And he said, of all their past. I want them totally emptied out of everything of their past. And I'm going to bring them a greater understanding of my mercy and my grace, and especially the baptism of my prophets, the baptism of repentance, and the washing away of their sins than they've ever known before. And I'm going to give them godly wisdom, for I want both of them in this body. The water is like the soul power that you work by. You got to use soul power to study this. That's good. But you should know the difference between soul power and spirit power, because spirit power is power. But when you mix it up, we don't go anyplace. And he said, I'm going to bring you with a new measure of the Spirit in 89. And I'm going to empty you out of all the past. And I'm going to fill your tanks with gasoline and your stomachs with water, so that you can water others without hurting them. A new division will I make in your midst, and both of it to your understanding in the soulish realm. But also I will show you how to move in the spiritual realm of power. So you'll see the prophets begin to bring you understanding of how that you can exercise your five senses to the Spirit. And it'll be like power that will release you into new activity. And this body is offered a cup to drink this year. And that cup will be, as I taught you last year, righteousness is imparted to you as a gift at birth. But after that, you begin to mature and progressively grow in righteousness. And as you continue to hold of holiness, well, some of this body will reach up and take a hold of holiness this next year to a measure like that of a babe. But they will begin next year, to which your children will bring into a fullness within the next 30 years. What you're going to begin this next year is totally emptying out and beginning a new. All we've done is made ourselves available to God's purpose up to now. But from now on, you can do more in a day than we've done all the time that we've been here by the Spirit. So there's going to come a new level of godly wisdom in the leadership and in some of you that's sitting out there. And many of you are going to drink into a greater level of righteousness than you've ever drunk before, till you take on a small level of holiness. And holiness releases power like you have never known before. The Lord showed me you are going to find out your landmarks, your property line stakes in 89. And when you know what you own, you're going to come to the knowledge by the Spirit of what you really own in the Spirit and what you can really do down here. And with that, you can begin to exert some power and begin to protect what is really yours. The property lines were laid by the apostles and the prophets long ago. Laid by the prophets and the apostles. It's all in there. You got to learn that by the water. And speaks into that, and then you see it come into being. So get ready for the water. The watering of the water, the washing, the regeneration, the renewing of your spirits. And get ready for the power, like unto the gasoline. For we've been like just a stall auto trying to start it. Because water many times when it collects in a tank, and that's what I saw, it collects there by sweating. You let a tank set over winter, and it'll really sweat if it's got a little gasoline in it, and that water will run down in the gasoline. And we have really sweated in our minds here at different times, trying to do something. We're going to come to a place of rest in our minds where we let the Spirit of God speak out of our innermost being. And we're going to come into a new realization of what the washing of the water really is, what water baptism is, what the baptism of the Spirit is. You're going to, at least three times this next year, you're going to experience new measures of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when that gasoline explodes, you're going to experience the experience of baptism of fire. You'll see it. For godly wisdom is going to raise up in Grandview, Missouri next year, to where you're going to begin to shoot holes, and the devil has been over this place long before this body become a body here. It's a religious spirit. It's legalism. And this body is going to begin to break that spirit over this area in 89, so that the spirit of mercy and grace can begin to be revealed over Grandview. Once we take him on here, then you can grow in strength to take him on in the city. But you're going to break, and the spirit of the Lord will divide between humility and legalism, because they come so close together at times. And when you get into legalism, you get into religion, you're not going any place. But when you get into humility and into righteousness, you're going every place. And some of you are going to come to the knowledge of the difference of it in 89, to where you can move in humility, which is pleases God. Legalism doesn't. You're going to grow to new levels of righteousness with new understanding of true righteousness and true humility, and revealing Christians. That's who you really are. You aren't religious, you're Christians. And your job is to reveal Christ within. Well, 89 is the year you begin to do it. It's the year that we're going to get out of the mud. We've been like in the mud for a long time, trying to get to the road. We got, well, we're on the road now. And we don't go any place until we get the windshields cleaned and the mud off of them, and our walk clean, because now we're going to move by the Spirit. And you'll see the prophets begin to show you how to exercise your five water soulish senses and exercise them and give authority to the Spirit of God in you, your heart, your spirit, to give it authority to speak into your five senses by the Holy Spirit, to where you don't have to sweat up here anymore, to where this body is going to begin to learn a rest in the mind, to where the Spirit of God begin to speak in a new clarity and a new purpose and direction, and a new commission will be given us in 89. It'll be according to the old promises. And it'll be for a time. It'll be for 5.5 years, beginning right now. And we'll finish that purpose in 5.5 years. Then he'll give us another. But in 89, we will be challenged by the Spirit of God to begin a great work for the Lord in 89. So, don't back down now from your intercession. Don't back down now from your faithfulness. Because you've endured, endure a little longer until we get the gasoline in our tank and the water within us, both of them separated, and handle it and keep them separated till we can begin to reveal the kingdom to this area. Now we can go.
Okay, let's go back now to the date you gave me, August 8, 1975. Tell us about the tunnel and...
Well, on August the 8th, well, on August the 7th, to the best I remember, in 75, Viola and I were coming back from the Lake of the Ozarks. We'd been under fishing. And as we started driving back on the road, the Spirit of the Lord began to, for a few years, had been really of fighting and trying to wake the churches up and trying to bring the churches into some unity to where we could begin to wake up. And you do a little combat with the spirit of abortion that was really grieving me, because at those times I was getting so grieved because I could hear the babies cry. I've not been the only prophet that could either. But I'd hear those babies cry. And they were the babies that were crying because they were dying. And we were coming back from the Lake of the Ozarks, and the Spirit of the Lord just came right into our cab like light. And I began to prophesy, but what was prophesying to me, I didn't know, but it made Viola and I sick at our stomachs. Because I began to prophesy how they would perfect technology for abortion. And I began to prophesy that they would literally burn babies alive. I began to prophesy that any time that you interfered with a pregnancy whatsoever, it was as bad as walking up to a grown person and blowing his head off. It's all the same sin. It's murder. What happened with Jim Jones down there is no worse than what happens in some of our garbage cans behind the hospital every week in this town right now. You think that's bad? No. It's no worse down there. Them people had a choice down there. But Jim Jones, them babies had no choice. Many of them was God's firstborn, which belonged to him. And so, as I was coming up, I began to prophesy how they'd perform that technology and how they would burn babies alive with acids, chemicals, and how they'd also just cut them into little pieces. And how they would keep performing the technology of that abortion, and how they'd finally in the last days come to where they'd just give a woman a pill. And it just pushed the baby, and the baby would just literally starve to death. Well, I'll tell you something else I prophesied back then, too. As we kill them babies, so will we be killed. There's judgment on this nation now that we will most certainly reap. Every way that we have touched those innocent ones, we as a nation will have judgment along that same way. We as a body of Christ, we don't come under that curse, but this nation does. And many times, if we don't have the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we're out doing our thing, then we're going to get the same as what the world gets. And so, as I came back, I was saying all them things, and boy, I think Viola and I was glad to get home. Well, that night, a demon came, and he said, "You go on with your ministry. Don't you prophesy about abortion anymore, and don't you tell what you've seen. And we'll leave you alone. We'll let you heal. We'll let you miracle. We won't raise up any warfare against you, any persecution against you. But if you prophesy one more time about what you've seen, I'll kill you." Well, I'll tell you, that devil didn't scare me at all, because I saw a lot of devils when I was in sin before I turned to the Lord. But I was with the Lord, and I didn't think that devil could touch me. So then, when the morning came, I began to share it with some people. And then me and my son went out to work. And I got out there about 15 minutes, and I mean, I got to hurting so bad from my belt down that I couldn't stand it anymore. I went back home. And from my belt down, it was like my entire body began to cramp. So they got me to a doctor. And the doctor looked at me and he says, "I don't know what's wrong with him, but you better get him in the hospital quick so that everything with him's quit working." And I told him, "No, I don't want to go to no hospital. If I'm going to die, I want to die home." So they took me home and he says, "You better take these pain pills." So he gave me some pain pills. I took three of them and they didn't even phase it. Didn't have time, I guess, to really get into my system either. And blood started pumping right out of my mouth and out of both of my noses. Every time my heart had beat, blood had come. I wrapped a wet towel around my head. And I just laid down on the bed. And man, I mean, the pain was awful. And I was thinking, wow, this is serious. And then about that time, the pain ceased. And I wasn't in pain anymore. I was in a tunnel. And I was in like a dark tunnel. And I looked down there, about as far as this place. And I saw a crystal light down there. And oh, it was beautiful. And I saw the form of a man in it. And where I was there, I knew where I was. And my thoughts was, what do you know? The devil did kill me. I wonder how he done that. So I'm going to ask the Lord. But then there's another thought that really come into my mind, too. I want to tell you, you can still think there. And that thought was, oh, brother, did I spot my garment? Have I got unknown sin in me? And the man that stood beside me, I had seen him before in my visions and dreams. And he terrorized me. I knew him as a faceless man. That's still how I know him. I still can never put a face on him. But he's the one that stands by my side. Always before that, I was terrified of him. But this time, he was a friend. He was the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete that stand by. And he said, Bob, in a gentle voice. Usually he was always coming to rebuke me. And this time he was real gentle. And he said, Bob, you can look now and see. Look. So I could even look within myself. And I had on a white robe. And I began to weep. Lord God, I come out of such deep sin, and you kept me clean. Your mercy and grace is beyond my understanding. And I just went there weeping. And as I began to walk, and that's what I did. I walked like you would here. I walked out of that tunnel. I walked to that crystal light and that beautiful person. And when people would come to him, and all type of people come to him, he would ask them just one question. He didn't ask them what you gave or what you did or how many people you led to the Lord or anything like that. He asked them one question only. Did you learn to love? When you come to Christ, that's the only question he's going to ask you. I've seen Christians that were saved that ducked their head in shame because they had to tell the truth there. You can't lie there because things are even within you will cry out the truth. You can't lie. And they would say, no, I become bitter. I become discouraged with the body of Christ. They had to tell it. No, I didn't learn to love anybody but myself. Well, they were saved. He would kiss them. But there was no rewards waiting for them. They just made it by grace. And I seen some that were the most homely and had the least going for them you'd ever believe. And they come there, and man, they were all jolly and happy. And the Lord would ask them, did you learn to love? And they'd say, oh, yes, Lord, we learned to love. And he would kiss them, and they'd go right in like two big doors in his heart. It was like the gates of heaven was the heart of Jesus. And it was like you just went right into his heart. And they were gates there, and they had six stones on both sides, and they had gates there that went on up. You couldn't see the gates. But they was in Jesus' heart. And I got drawing up here closer. I got to it, and I looked down there, and my robe wasn't spotted. And I got real happy. And I come into the light. I come into the crystal light. It was the glory of God. And all the good feelings I've ever known in all the time that I have been. If I'd have put them all together into an instant and multiplied it a million times, it would have utterly stunk. I felt so secure there. I felt so at peace in that crystal light. Only about 6 months ago did I understand about his glory there in the 8th chapter of the Song of Solomon in the 7th verse. And there it's called love. And when the Lord told me that in a vision, and I went before him for about 2 days, Lord, I thought that feeling you're describing there in the Song of Solomon is love, was your glory. Because I was in your glory, in your glorious light. That light penetrates right into your mind. It penetrates your soul. You just become saturated with it. And that's what this body is going to do this year, become saturated in Papa's swimming pool. You're going to swim in Papa's swimming pool of love. There's going to be experiences this year. 89. I'll tell you, we were promised Papa's swimming pool back in 83. Get ready, it's going to come in 89. And when you begin to swim there, don't worry about the roast. Going to burn it home. Let it burn. There's going to come praise and release as you've not known it before. We've had a measure of it in 83. Get ready for it in 89. You're going to have to wash yourself with a little washing of the water by the word and preparation, which is fine. That's the water. But get ready also for the power in his swimming pool. And so he told me about that glory and about that love. And the word says, Lord, I'm going to go to the word anytime over one of my experiences. And he told me a secret that I didn't know. And I've told quite a few pastors, and quite a few of them said, oh yeah, we knew it. Well, I wish they'd have told me. What he told me was this: Bob, my glory and my love is the same thing. You can check it out in the 17th chapter of John. The glory that I had with the Father from the beginning, or the love that I had with the Father from the beginning. It's all the same thing. Man, when you dwell in that, there's not anything on this earth that you'd come back for. And I was there, and I was clean. And when the Lord... I just see them people that he'd reach out and kiss. Come my time, man, I was ready to pucker up. Because, man, I mean, I felt greater in the time that I was with him than I'd ever known before. And I was relishing every second of it. And it was so beautiful. I don't know what it had been on past that. But man, that was the most beautiful feelings I'd ever had in all my life. And I was in that liquid love. That love was just pouring all over that. His love and his glory was just all over that place. But as I come close to him, he held out his hand and he said, no, go back. I told him, Lord, I don't want to go back. That's pain. That's hurt. There's failure out there. I haven't accomplished anything. He said, go back. I've called you to be a seer. And you're to see for my leaders. I want you to touch a few of the leaders that I'm going to use in the latter days. I want you to begin to go and to back them up. And I said, but Lord, I don't want to go back. And he said, but Bob, when you were saved in the Baptist church, you really had a love for souls. And that soul still has a calling on your life, and you've not accomplished what I appointed you to do yet. Because I'm going to bring in over 1 billion souls into myself in the last great waves upon the earth, which will be 3. And I want you to go back and prepare the leaders and show them how to get a hold of me for themselves. For I'm not calling you to be a leader of the church. I don't want you to ever pastor either. But go back. Go back and get the church ready to do it my way. Well, I said, Lord, for souls, I'll go back. So I came back. But when I was before the Lord, all 5 of my senses, all 5 that my soul depends on, were more alive, were more blessed, My taste, I could taste greater. With my nose, I could smell all the fragrance. In other visions to where he came other times and took me to heaven. And I entered in, there's seven levels up there in heaven. The throne is on the third level. I don't know what goes above that. But you're continually growing in heaven, just like you do down here. Only up there you don't have any devil opposition. Down here you have a lot. And you know, the greater devil opposition you have down here, the greater you are in heaven. Because you've had to fight greater wars. Some people that are really in great leadership down here, they don't have much reward up there because they didn't have to fight much. But some people are just coming out of carnality and out of the bottom of the pit. Man, they got beautiful mansions up there. In one vision, I saw one of the most beautiful mansions up there. And a woman had it by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. And the Lord said, she pleased me. You want to copy after somebody because she copied after me. She really lived in humility. I want to tell you, sisters have just as big a testimony up there as brothers do. Now, my own way of seeing this is their beautiful mansions in heaven was created in them down here by what they endured. You want a pretty mansion in heaven? Then grow up down here, because that mansion that's built by the Holy Spirit's you. You're the house the Lord builds to dwell in. And I mean that Corrie Ten Boom was built by the Spirit beautifully down here. But in heaven, her mansion showed. She was that mansion, so are you. The only thing that is not settled in all creation is you. If the Lord wanted to build kingdoms or anything, he'd speak it into existence. You are the mansions he's building. You are the land that he wants. You are the holy land that he's raising up for his use. And you grow into humility. And you grow up in righteousness, taking on holiness. And you will be a beautiful mansion that the Lord will inhabit. Just throw that in without any charge.
Bob, tell us more about the five senses. You told me some things about the flowers and the smells. And
well, when I was taken up there, I was taken to the first level. And it was like eternal springtime there. And just you might say those Christians is saved by grace is the only one I was comfortable on. And as I went there, he took me into a beautiful meadow. And it was like spring, only the light wasn't like a sun as we know it. It was like everything was light. And in the kingdom of heaven, everything is light. The flowers are light. The water is light. And they're just different colors of light. And so he took me there. And I just wanted to lay there in that meadow. It was, peace. All over the pieces beyond anything I can describe to you. I wish I had words, but I can't do it. And so that peace was there. And as I would just lay down in the grass and the flowers, it was like I was light. And I wouldn't hurt the flowers, but I could smell them. The sense of smell is beyond anything you can imagine. Can you imagine all the flowers in the earth? And all the nectar being poured into one drop and put underneath your nose. It's like you can smell all the nectar of all the beautiful smells on the earth at once. It was like everything on the earth was first in heaven. Then brought down here as a blessing. They were fruit there. And the Lord picked some fruit and said, taste it. I tasted of it. Well, I love apricot. Especially when it's real juicy. And it was sort of like a real juicy, ripe apricot. Oh, it was. Oh, the taste was beyond anything that I can describe, too. And then I listened. I was right by a brook. And it was running down some trees on both sides of the brook. And I could hear the water running. Singing praises. And I could see the wind blowing like in the pine trees. And it was praising too. And they were birds sitting on the branches of those pines. And they were singing praises. And the Lord said, look at those. Those are the songbirds that I'll loose to the earth, to the body. So that's why I call the praisers the songbirds. Because when they start praising in the spirit, one of them birds from up there just comes and sits on their shoulder and begins to sing in their ear, and so they just repeat it. I mean, that's the way it works. So these songbirds we've got here is because they've been anointed by those that sent to them. And so sound was beyond anything I can tell you. All the sounds there were so pleasant. There wasn't anything that irritated your ear. The saints were being taught or were in praise or in song. The songs there were so beautiful. And the music was beyond description. And it was just the contentment that was in me. I had a desire that I could have just stayed there for thousands of years without moving. The feelings that come over me. When those songs and everything had come, they were feelings like just a wave would come through my body. And the feelings, one of the sense of feel, was just as the praisers would come, it would be like a ripple would come through me. That's what's going to happen in this body too. It's going to come like this, like a ripple. Then it'll come like this, like a wave, again and again. You're going to start seeing that in 89. And that was sound and feelings, hearing and feeling. And as I already told you about my eyes, everything that I seen was beautiful. He took me to the second level of heaven. It was likened to the first. Only the light was more severe. It hurt my head. I wasn't mature enough to enjoy it. Then he took me to the third heaven and to the throne room. And literally those that mature in the last days in the Church of Philadelphia, they're the ones that will be in that third heaven. But there I couldn't stand it all. I had to hide behind Jesus. Jesus was like colored sunglasses to me there. And I had to look through him to even see any of the things going on there. And I was begging him to take me back. The only place I was happy with was the first level. And that's where all the, literally the baby Christians went. That's why I was content. But that third level was so much light and glory beyond all the other levels. And the saints in heaven are continually growing and growing and going from one level to another. They're continually ministering to one another, teaching one another. They're doing many things. Their activity is there. But the third level, its light was so bright that it was like the light of platinum or like gold. And I was very, very uncomfortable there. Because the light was stronger than what I could bear. So he took me back down to the first level. And that's where he's taken me quite a few times when I go to heaven. And that's where I've seen some of the saints. He won't let me talk to the saints. Especially some of the disciples, the apostles that become apostles. Because they got a right to talk to us first. For you see, you're part of their testimony. And your children, and your children's children, part of their testimony. So they're waiting to see how their testimony winds up as we're one another, part of one another's testimony. There's not any private thing in the body of Christ because every one of us cross-pollinate one another's lives so much. That it's really one testimony down through all history. And we're the end product of all the suffering, of all the breakthroughs, and all the prayers, and all the praise that's ever been in the body of Christ. And your children will be the product of what you go through as your grandchildren, and you'll see your grandchildren. But you are in that end time, and you can expect these revelations of what I'm speaking about to increase, because in the movement of the Spirit, these five senses that your mind depends on to run it, you're going to have to submit them to the Spirit within you. And you're going to begin to understand in 89 how to do that and how to move in the Spirit. Because it's the five senses that you move in, exercising the senses. Get ready to understand Hebrews 5:14 on a level like you've never known before. And especially 6:1, because you've got to go through 5:14 before you get to 6:1. And the best way I could say about 6:1 is just maturity. Growing up in righteousness, the place that you can take hold of holiness. It's really what it's saying there. And you do that by destroying your carnal five senses and making them look to the Spirit within you for the answer. For the answer is within you. You're going to learn how to do it in 89. And that will please the Lord. For one thing I've been saying to the body of Christ, you'll either be in great faith by spring or great fear. It's your choice. Believe. No matter what your five senses says and that TV and the radio is saying, believe that God's got it all under control. He does. And that you are the beloved that he's been waiting to put on his knee. You are. And that his love is towards you. It is. Get ready to love in a new way that you've never loved before.
Bob, back into heaven now. You mentioned an escalator up there. Can you tell us about that?
In the heaven, you mean going from one level to the other?
Well, you mentioned to me that you saw an escalator with people going down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I went to the Lord in death, there was an escalator on my left side. And those people were wrapped in whatever they served on the earth. I saw men encased in whiskey bottles. I saw men and women wrapped in dollar bills. I saw men wrapped up in their own lawn that they'd worshiped on the Sunday instead of going to church. Whatever a man's God was on the earth is what he was bound with on that escalator. And some of them were bound with some pretty horrible stuff. But whatever a man had served in his God, at every person there, it had a God, even if it was atheism, it had a God on the earth. And there he was bound by that God. And there the Spirit of God, a Papa, was in him, and there the Spirit of God would release when that man stood there.
This concludes side one. Please turn the tape over.
And that man would know Jesus. He couldn't move. I have no idea where he'll ever move again. But there he was like a mummy with just his face to where he could see. And the men and women there would look on the face of the Lord and look at the beauty and would look at the peace. And they would see everything that I seen. And I want to tell you something else there. Your mind was total clear. Only the saint's mind was all things that hurt them was removed. But I noticed that those that were wrapped in other gods, their mind was made total clear. On by, and their face would drop way down, their eyes would become big, and they would go down like an escalator, like into a coal storage place that was cold and dark, to where that they'd just be stacked like blocks of ice, and they were just shooting down there, and never again would they see any light. Never again would they look on the love of God and on Jesus. for they went down in there for eternity. And that's one reason that I was willing to come back, because their number was about 97 to each three of us that was going through the doors. For about each three saints on the earth today, there's 97 people that's going to hell. And that's why the Lord brought this body into being, so that we could grow up in godly wisdom and begin to exhibit the kingdom of God on the earth before it's too late for those 97. I mean, they had their witness because they had the Spirit of the Father in them, but that left them. And all they had for eternity was hell. Now, in another vision years ago, I was sent to a young man. He was around 24 years old. He was beautiful. He was married. He had a good wife. Had some children. That young man, he stood about 6'4". He was a cement finisher, and he was really beautifully put together. And his wife had got spirit filled, and she'd begin to serve the Lord. This young man was a Mormon. And he left her because she got spirit filled. And the Lord spoke to him in dreams and said, go warn him. So I went to him, and I began to try to witness to him. And he laughed at me. He said, I'm okay. He says, I'm getting drunk every night. He said, I've got a new woman every night, too. He said, me and this priest I'm staying with, we're having a ball. He says, when I get tired of it, I'm going to go back, and that woman will bow down to me, and she'll never open her mouth to me again as long as I live. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, did I blow that one? Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I don't know how to witness to this man. And so I left. I was really grieved, and I was really repenting. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's the last witness I'll ever give him. About 9 months later, I was reading in the paper. And that young man, right in the prime of life, died. And about 3 weeks after he died of pneumonia. About 3 weeks after he died, the Lord came and says, come with me. And he took my hand back in those days like a grown-up would take a little brother's hand. I was about like 5 or 6 years old. And we started going down. And we went down in the most dreadful place, and I started begging him, let me go and let me go back. I didn't like it, because as we went down, the air began to stink like you wouldn't believe it. It began to stink like black exhaust smoke out of an auto, and that's how my sight was, too. I couldn't see anything. My eyes burned. My eyes hurt. I heard screeching noise and everything that irritated me in my ears. My feelings were just like I was so sick I wanted to heave all the time. My nose smelled the most awful smell. The taste in my mouth was like poison. And we kept going down worse and worse. And we came into a place of black smoke that didn't have no top, no bottom. It was like a vacuum. I mean, I couldn't touch nothing. I couldn't feel nothing. My mind couldn't touch anything. My mind was out of track. And I saw a man there. I saw a head in a macrame basket. And that macrame basket was hung out of nothing. And it was swinging back and forth. And I heard a voice saying, but the priest said I was all right. And that doctor said it was a small thing. And I went around and looked at him. And there he was. He just his head. He couldn't turn his head. He couldn't see nothing. And over and over and over, that's all he repeated. But they said my soul was all right. And they said it was just a small thing that I'd recover. I looked at it, and oh, I was really sick about that time. And the Lord spoke and said, Bob, he's not going to be here just 100,000 years.
he hasn't got any hope. Even the devil would be company down here with him. But this is his eternal judgment. Eternity. I'll tell you, people, hell is real. Heaven is real, but so is hell. And all the five senses in hell are just as rampant on the evil side as the five senses in heaven are on the right side. The church needs a vision of hell, because it's time we quit playing games and got into what the Lord is into, souls. So, the experiences I've had to deal with my soulish five senses. Good, beyond anything I can describe in heaven. Bad, beyond anything that I can describe in hell.
Bob, we've got about 6 or 8 minutes left. I just want to read a couple of testimonies from one from Dr. Richard Eby, another one, I believe, from Kenneth Hagin, and I'll let you comment on that before we close. Concerning the reality of hell, Dr. Richard Eby is a man who experienced very similar to an experience that Bob had. He fell out of a second-story window on his head, and all his blood ran out, and he was pronounced dead. But during that time, he was taken into heaven and then had an experience in hell. And I just want to read this, his testimony about being allowed to fall into hell. It says, "My son, I showed you heaven. Now I show you hell. You must know about them both. In heaven, I took away your fear. For 2 minutes now, I give it back. You must be able to tell them they can choose heaven or hell, but tell them that I died to close hell and open heaven just for them. They must choose between my love and eternal life or Satan's lies and eternal death. Tell them, tell them, tell them. There is yet a little time, but very little. The voice of one calling his sheep. Then he was gone, and my 2 minutes of hell started. Instantly, I realized I was a dead sinner being taken to the lowest bowels of the earth. The tomb became the pit. A sense of absolute terror gripped my being. The immensity of my isolation in the stark darkness and soundless silence was overwhelming. I would have screamed, but there was no voice. If it were not for Jesus' explicit command that I tell about it, this experience would be too frightening to relate. Praise the Lord for only 2 minutes of hell. Even so, it was too long. In the depths of earth, my isolation was terrifying. No one could help but Jesus, and he was gone. My mind was lightning fast, as it had been in heaven. Thoughts tumbled over one another. I would never see another person. I could not break out. I would never hear a voice again, either friend or enemy. Nothing to read, nothing to look at, nowhere to go. Even my own body sounds were stilled in death. With terror came silence. Hell-inspired curses flowed out in silence. My lips were silenced. Hate, wrath, cruelty, and insane rage rolled back and forth through me. Despite the utter silence, I heard demons taunt me. Damn God, damn people, damn everything, damn me, especially damn Jesus for doing this to me when I hadn't done anything to him. In fact, I'd always left him totally alone. Damn Satan too, the dirty deceiver. He should burn for this. And then I noticed the cold, the kind that sickens and chills every cell, just enough to ache, but not to get numb. There was no way to ever get warm, not in that dank pit. And the smell, horrid, nasty, stale, fetid, rotten, and evil, mixed together and concentrated. Somehow I knew instantly these were the odors of my pit mates, stinking, crawling, demons seemed mentally delighting in making me wretched. The immensity of this depravity in which they were living and exulting was appalling. I would now have an eternity of inescapable nausea besides all the rest of hell. My terror mounted until I was ready to collapse into utter hopelessness, crushing despair, abysmal loneliness. I was an eternally lost soul by my own choosing. I screamed, but not a sound. The clammy, wet walls held me crushed for eternity, without escape, without a savior, without anything to maintain sanity.
And then later he says, in total despair, I started to slide to the floor, and there was no hope. But worse yet, I suddenly was snatched away, found myself standing before a gorgeous throne on which sat God, an indescribable personage. I knew him by his radiance. He was rapidly thumbing through a large book and in his right hand, and I could see its pages to the title and the cover, The Book of Life. I felt naked physically, emotionally, spiritually. I knew I was being judged, and I had no lawyer to plead my cause. I found I had my voice again, and I heard it stammer, "What are you looking for, God? My name must be there." And the Lord said, "I am looking for your name in our family album, but I do not find it here." He replied with a shake of his head, "But it must be there, God. I lived a good life. I was never arrested or imprisoned. I obeyed the rules. I did good works. Look some more. What do you mean I'm not in your family? You rejected my son's offer to be born again and to be washed clean in his blood. Remember, you were told many times, there is nothing more I can do. You're not one of my children. You belong to Satan's family." And listen to this. He stretched forth his arm and pointed to a distant lake of fire. I shall never forget what I saw, the second death. He explained, "It was prepared for Satan and his angels. Depart from me into everlasting punishment with your father, the devil." And here I want to just read this story about Kenneth Hagin. He also died as a young man, and he went to hell, not once, but three times. He says he was pulled down like metal to a magnet through ever-increasing darkness towards the flames of hell. He even saw on the walls the flickering light from the flames and experienced the stifling heat. But his mother was loudly entreating heaven for him, and he heard the voice of God shake hell, loosing him from the grip of the horrible creature escorting him and causing him to ascend again out of the pit and back into his body. The third time he came out praying and was born again. The mouth of hell, he says, is indescribable. There is nothing to compare it to, nor are there any words adequate to describe the horrors of hell. You know, an awful destiny for those that are not washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. It's awful. Bob, do you have any closing comments on that? I just want to recommend, if any of you want to do more research on this, John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, powerful visions, also was taken before the throne of God and also into hell. And he describes in a book, we're out of time, I was going to read that to you, about the torture of the five senses. Mm. And the thing, I guess, that stuck out to me more than anything was the what he calls the worm of the conscience that gnaws forever.
Yeah, the worm
God's
never dies.
Perfect justice.
Oh, yeah. That's what was happening with that young man, the worm. One thing I really liked about that is he took out the book of the family. I like to think on that. We are one family, and Daddy's got us all in the book. He's got us registered there in that book. And that's another thing, that he's going to begin to bring godly wisdom into leaders. And all of Daddy's family will begin to relate to those who have godly wisdom. He don't want a divided family. Religion divides. But he's got us all written in a book. And I'll tell you, I can give praise where I feel like it or not, just knowing that my name is written there in Daddy's book. He's got a record of it. So when I want to get out of my trials and troubles, I just think about my family. Papa is a family man. And that's what he's going to begin to exhibit. His glory, his glorious love on his family. And that's the only hope the world's got, is to see his family with his love, his glorious love exhibited on his family.
Amen.
It's the 87th Psalm, too.
Bob, we're going to have to close.
For more information about Grace Ministries, or for a list of available tapes and books, please write Grace Ministries, Post Office Box 491, Grandview, Missouri, 64030. Thank you.